Welcome back to the third episode of Mindset. I have a really special guest today, and it's 1st of May. We're currently drinking cocktails at 11:50 in Berlin. It's a special event. But with no further ado, how about you introduce yourself, and then I'll introduce the topic of today.
Yeah, sure. Hey, my name's Satya, and I've currently been living in Berlin for about 6-7 months, and I'm from Canada.
Yeah, well, nice to meet you, Satya. And actually, today we'll be talking about a different type of hustle. I mean, you as people who follow me at Mindset knows that I have a brand, but the type of hustle that we'll be talking today is very different. So how about you, Satya, you tell us a bit about your hustle that you used to have.
Right.
And tell you how you got to it.
Okay, right. So the hustle we're going to talk about today is stripping. And
I love this topic. This is going to be such a good podcast.
So, yeah, I used to be a stripper. I was doing it for about 2 years. And before that, I actually did webcam work as well. So if you don't know what that is, it's webcamming or being a cam model.
How did you get into that?
God, how did I get into that? Like, right, so...
Like, did you sign up on a portal or something?
Well, no, you do sign up online. So basically, when I was younger, I always had this notion that I wanted to be in Playboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. it was kind of like a goal of mine, I guess. So as soon as I turned 18 and I saw that there was a casting coming to Montreal,
yeah.
I decided to apply. So I sent my photos to the casting director.
Nice.
And yeah, I went to the Playboy casting. I got invited.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
But anyways, I went to the Playboy casting. I got to go to a sweet Playboy after party, which was really fun. Like VIP, all the free drinks, and a lot of creepy executives, which was nice. Creeping on the 18-year-olds.
Nice.
But basically, after the Playboy casting call, a few months later, I got an email from one of the head casting directors named Sam Rima. And he asked me if I wanted to work for their online site.
No way.
So that's how I got into
webcam. So how was your first ever webcam show, and how did that feel?
It's hard to remember.
Did you have a username? What was your username?
Oh my god, I'm not going to give my username because you can find stuff online. But,
was it a funny one, though?
It involved a month and an astrological sign. So,
oh, nice.
So there you go.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I think the first ever time, it's hard to remember exactly how it went, but I believe I was in my ex-boyfriend's bedroom, and I signed on. We actually had a training.
Yeah.
So I had a girl who worked for Playboy, like, do online tutorials with you about how to interact with customers and...
That is so cool.
What kind of stuff is appropriate, what's inappropriate.
Yeah.
So I think the first time I went on, I was only on for about an hour and a half or so.
Only?
Yeah.
That's long time.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Most people who are webcam models treat it like a full-time job. They're going to do like 5-6 days a week, and they're on for about 8 or 9 hours.
How can they play themselves for 8 hours?
What do you mean play themselves?
Or like, I mean, I'm assuming webcam girls, they get very sexual on webcam. How do you entertain yourself
for 8 hours? Right. Well, that's the thing. More than half the time, you're actually just...
And guys are only going to be there for 50 minutes. They wank off, and then they're gone, no?
Yeah, but the trick is to try to get them to take you into a private, because they can tip you to do stuff in public chat.
Yeah.
And typically, like, I don't know, maybe you say, like, tip this many tokens, which will equate to a certain value in US dollars.
Yeah.
And then you'll do a little something, or you can run, like, promos. Like, if you get up to this many tokens, I will do a striptease, for example.
Okay.
Or I will suck on an ice cube seductively, something like this, right? So, basically, when you're in public chat, most of the time, you're just trying to get people interested.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to kind of, like, hook them and make them want to take you private. So, I would say more than half the time, that's what you're doing. So, you're not
being
actually...
Being a tease.
Yeah, that's it. You're not actually...
You're just being a tease.
A professional tease.
Awesome.
So, you're not actually, like, fiddling with yourself that often.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, I only did about an hour and a half. Because, for me, being in front of a screen is...
Yeah, it's tiring.
It's super boring.
Yeah.
So I never took it that seriously.
And do you see the other people on the other end with their webcams on?
No, I mean, they can.
Or only chat.
Well, they can put their webcams on, but most people, I guess, didn't want to because they wanted it to be kind of like a fantasy. They wanted to portray themselves as whoever they wanted to be, right?
Yeah.
Occasionally, someone, they would get off and like trying to show you something, but to be honest, you can close it on your end and they're not going to know.
Because
for me, like, I don't want to see some fat dudes who are, like, wanking off into the camera,
you know what
I mean? Like,
disgusting.
I'm not getting paid to watch,
right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I mean, okay, so you were webcamming, you did this 1.5-hour session, and I'm sure you didn't immediately after 1.5 hours be like, fuck it, I'm going stripping. Like, what was the transition like?
No, so I was actually webcamming, I think, probably for about 2 years or something.
Was it good money?
It was decent. I treated it like a part-time job, so for me, I would only work maybe, I don't know, like 8 hours a week or something.
Yeah.
And working 8 hours a week, it was enough to sustain myself. It was enough to pay for my apartment. It was enough to buy food, go out, buy clothing, whatever, treat myself to vacations. So it was fine, you know? Like, yeah. It was a bit above average, but only working 8 hours a week, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is pretty
so
sweet.
So since I had so much free time, what I was doing with all my other free time was acrobatics.
So, getting flexible, eh?
Getting flexible, that's it. So I did a lot of pole dance, like pole fitness, actually.
Oh, no way.
So I used to instruct that.
Did you ever do that in front of the cam?
Yeah, a couple times because I had a pole at home.
Nice.
So I would do competitions and everything. So basically all my free time was training. And since I was surrounded by other girls who do pole dancing, of course, some of them stripped, too. They kind of go hand in hand, right? And
so you had, like, co-workers or co-friends, which were already...
That's it, yeah. Okay. And one of my good friends, she'd been stripping for 7 years already.
Damn.
And she was asking me about webcamming, and she was saying, girl, like, why are you going to risk people seeing your face, like, on the internet, having permanent images of you for the amount of money you're making? Like, you can strip and make 5 times that amount, and no one can take photos of you. There's no permanent record of you being here, you know? Yeah. And, of course, my reservation was, I felt like it might be dangerous or it could be scary. So I was pretty nervous about it. So I put it off for ages. And then finally, I did see some recorded videos of myself. And I was like, okay, it's not really worth it to have permanent videos of me online for the amount of money I'm making.
That's true.
Yeah, so my friend's like,
can I ask how much money you were making? Like, does it, do you get an hour? Or, like, let's not talk about, like, the minimum, but let's talk about the tips. Like, were the tips good enough?
I mean, yeah,
it was only tips?
It was good enough to sustain me. Well, the main way you can make money is people find you in public chat. But then the thing is, when you go in private, actually, for the site I was working for, it was one of the highest rates that you can get.
Okay. Once you're in private, they pay on an hourly or something.
By minute. So by people minute. Were paying $5 a minute to talk to me.
What?
US.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. But the thing is, I would only get half of that because the other half would go towards Playboy.
Yeah.
So the best thing you can do is when people get to know you, you can slip them your Skype handle, and that way you can just Skype with them. You charge them a little less, but you pocket all the cash through PayPal.
Yeah.
Which is what most people do. So that's what I ended up doing, of course. And you can also do stuff like selling videos, underwear, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there's a whole fetish scene out there, too.
Yeah, and I can honestly say the people who pay the best are people with fetishes.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and they're returning customers, too.
Yeah.
So I had one guy who would...
Buy your underwear nonstop.
Well, no, but he would talk to me about once a week, and his fetish was watching people try on underwear.
That is amazing.
And pull them up really high. Like, he basically believed that the 80s should have never ended. And that the 80s fashion is the epitome of fashion. And that basically, if your underwear are not past your belly button, like, it's not hot.
That is such a weird fetish.
Yeah, so he would just pay me to try on underwear and hike them up.
Did he at least send you some underwear, too?
He offered to buy me... he sent me money to buy underwear.
That's amazing.
Because we were in different countries.
That is so amazing.
So, yeah, every week he'd watch me try on underwear.
I mean, honestly, I think that sounds... quite fun.
Yeah.
Like, why not get paid to wear underwear?
No, I had another guy who would want me to just curl and flex my toes in front of the camera.
Dude, this is insane.
But the best one I had was this business executive from LA, and his fetish was to be told to do drugs.
What?
So
you just had to take drugs?
No, to tell him to do drugs.
Oh, no way.
So I hung out in, like, my lounge wear.
Yeah.
And basically told him to do coke and to... drink and basically to follow my orders. This went on for about...
And he did that?
Yeah. This went on for about maybe 2.5-3 hours. It got to the point where I actually made him order an escort, who I chose online with him.
No way.
He ordered an escort. He went to the hotel to meet her, all the while using data to keep me on the phone to tell him what to do. He found the escort. I talked to her face-to-face, like, he gave her the phone, and I'm like, look, girl, you're gonna get paid well, I'm gonna get paid well, you're gonna kick the shit out of this guy. This is what's gonna go down. So
that is insane.
Yeah, so she just, like, made fun of him, called him a dog, kicked him around, and then he went back home, and I got him to order pizza.
He liked it?
He loved it. I think I made like 800 US for like
Jesus,
3 hours.
And he was so turned on by the whole concept.
I'm sure he loved it. For me, it was great. I was just drinking tea, like basically in my pajamas, telling him what to do.
Man, you were playing a video game.
Yeah, essentially.
Like, literally a video game.
It was super fun. So that was awesome.
Okay, so I mean, fine. I mean, sounds like a lot of fun. And then in mid, like when you had all the time, you were just like pole dancing, training.
Yeah, that's it.
And then so at some point you said, okay, like I do want to make more money. I don't want to be ultimately on the internet all the time.
Yeah,
so
well,
I'm going to start stripping.
Well, yeah, that was the main thing, like just being online. So yeah, I decided to try stripping out. I applied at one of, well, it's like one
of... How does an application work? You just have to pole dance, show a bit of...
It depends on the club, but typically they'll have you come in person and fill out an application, or you can send the manager a text if one of your friends works there and has given you his phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So standard application is they want to know if you've worked at clubs before, what kind of experience you have. A lot of the time, like, if you've worked in, I think, porn, for example, some clubs won't be into it, like they don't want you there.
Yeah.
So the first club I went to is super, super selective about who they let in.
So they're just, like, innocent?
Well, they have, like, each club has kind of, like, a certain look they're going for,
okay.
You know? And the first club I went to is really, really famous in the city I was in.
Yeah.
Like, on weekends, you have lineups around the block, even in the winter. And in Canada, in the winter, it's, like, negative 30, you know? So there's dudes lining up around the block in negative 30.
All wanting to see Satya on a Saturday evening.
That's it. Or me and the other 60 girls, you know?
How did you differentiate yourself from the other girls? Like, what made you stand out?
I think I'm pretty heavily tattooed, which, like, definitely a lot of dancers do have tattoos.
Yeah.
But me a little bit more so than other people. I think the other difference between me is I do have a natural figure. Like, I don't have any enhancements.
Yeah.
And where I was working, it was very common for people to have fake boobs or a fake butt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if...
You were just all natural.
Yeah, so if you're into more of a natural look...
And Satya has a gorgeous face, guys. Just so you know.
Oh, thank you.
So it's all natural.
All natural. So I think that was a bit different. But, yeah, see, that's the thing. One of the assumptions people have about stripping is the better looking you are, the more money you're going to make.
Yeah.
And it's not the case. Like, the main thing is how good you are at conversing with people. The girls who make the most money are the ones who are good conversationalists and generally who have something, like, behind their eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
so
they have a brain.
Yeah.
If you're just a hot...
So what kind of conversations do you have to keep the clients, in front of you for a really long time?
It can be anything. You have to have a good read of character.
Is it, once again, do you go in this, like, fetish line? Where you...
No, not honestly at clubs. Like, I didn't meet that many people who at least were like honest about their fetishes.
Yeah.
They more just wanted like
just some fun.
Some entertainment. Yeah.
Okay.
So every time is different. That's the thing about being a good stripper. You have to be able to kind of look at someone across the room with 60 other girls walking around, plus like 200 customers. First of all, you have to acknowledge if they've looked at you, if they're interested in you. You have to figure out if they're worth spending your time on. In other words, do they have the finance to back talking to you?
So you also have a lot of people in the club which have no money and might just, waste your time.
For sure. Tons of people who just want to, like, watch girls on stage and, like, freeload, basically.
Yeah.
People will try to trick you into talking to them and wasting your time. They're going to try to ask you to, like, ooh, give me a show. Show me why you're different. Like, get as many free-for-alls as they can. So you have to be able to kind of decipher all that. Choose someone who is of value and who's gonna pay for your time.
Is there maybe like a tip you can, I don't know. Like is there like a tip you can give me or anybody to pretty much make someone like work with you longer? What characteristics do you see in someone to know like this guy has a lot of money?
Typically, people who have a lot of money are actually the worst.
Really?
You don't want to hang out with businessmen because they're really frugal about their money. They have a lot, but they really want every cent to be worth what they've spent. This is probably why they ended up having a lot of money.
Yeah, so the savers.
Yeah, savers, businessmen, not great. The best is actually like middle-class men because they have enough money to splurge once in a while. They're not counting every cent. And
looking for a good time.
Yeah, they just want to have fun. Like, the businessman wants every second to be worth it, and someone who has no money wants a free-for-all.
Yeah.
So middle-class dudes are the best. I typically would feel more comfortable approaching someone who has the same native tongue as me.
Do you have all age ranges there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you get everything from 18 to, like, 70.
And did you have also girls coming to see you?
Yeah, sometimes you'd have girls, but most of the time it would be like a girl with her boyfriend. Like, a lot of the time couples are pretty intense, because when couples come, it is kind of for fetish reasons. Like, they really want that experience of having another woman intimately.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, they're actually the ones that kind of break rules. Like, almost every time I've been back with a couple, the girl would end up taking her tit out or something, or, like, trying to, you know, kiss me or get physical.
Yeah.
Which, where I worked, that was not allowed. Like, I was not fully nude. You're allowed to touch, but nowhere too intimate, you know?
Okay. So there were clear boundaries.
Yeah, like, the places I worked at were more, I guess you can say, like, gentlemen's clubs.
Yeah.
Nice. Right? So...
But how long did you work as a stripper then?
About a year and a half, on and off. Two years. Depends. I took a lot of vacations and traveled in between, so it was never too consistent.
It sounds exciting. And did you... I mean, at some point after 1.5 years, you had enough of it, or...? I mean, I'm assuming the money was good, otherwise you wouldn't have done it for such a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what made you stop?
Yeah, it gets kind of draining. Like, it's very emotionally taxing. And it just... Like, the money just wasn't worth it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd go home with, like, a stack of cash, and... It would mean so little to me that I wouldn't even end up counting it. I would just chuck it somewhere, you know? I wouldn't even look at how much I made. I didn't care anymore.
Yeah. And did you have any, like, real relationships with guys during that time?
Yeah, I was with my ex-boyfriend the entire time.
Okay, and what was his, like, opinion about it?
I mean, he was a stripper, too, so...
Really? No way.
I mean, his opinion was he saw what I was doing. He saw how well I was doing.
And he was happy about it.
And he decided to do the same thing, so...
No way.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so he...
But he was very understanding.
No, was he working in the same strip club?
No, he was working actually at a gay strip club because he was a very pretty boy.
No way.
And did well with
men. Did he also get, like, bring wads of cash home?
He did pretty well, yeah. But the problem, at least, in the city we were living in the gay scene, is that guys would do more for less. So a lot of his coworkers were doing extras. So a lot of them would make their money by actually, like...
Fucking...
Well, yeah, getting with the clients, and my ex wouldn't do that. So it's hard to compete with, you know, the guys next to you when you want them to pay, like, 50 for a dance, and they're going to, like, give the customer a blowjob for 50. You know, it's a different ballpark. But no, he was still doing well.
Okay.
Yeah,
definitely. But, I mean, I bet it is very, like, draining emotionally.
For sure.
And I guess that was the biggest con.
Yeah, that's it. And just long, like, it's long hours.
And it's late always, right?
Yeah, you're on your feet, you know, like, it's...
I mean, you must have been, like, a really good pole dancer by the end of it.
Oh, I was a really good pole dancer before it. You know, that's why I got into it.
That's crazy.
But,
and, okay, so, I mean, you can't just then leave the club and say, hey, guys, I'm out? Or, or was it that simple?
Of course, you can just leave and not come back. Like, actually, like...
Did they ever have that with, like, other coworkers that just left and never came back?
Yeah, for sure. And girls do it all the time. Like, you're a freelancer, so you don't really owe the club anything.
Okay.
It's like... If you want to keep working there, you have to abide by their schedule. But if you're done or want to switch, you just switch.
Wow. And how did, I mean, like, when you meet people during that time, like, and you told them about, like, yeah, I'm a stripper, like, I'm sure there was, like, a lot of, like, connotation with it. So how did you deal with, like, the mindset around being a stripper and, like, talking about it?
I guess the thing is, I kind of feel like,
Because, I mean, you previously mentioned that a lot of the people that you were with had something behind their skull, so I'm assuming they were studying a while.
Yeah, a lot of girls were actually pursuing masters or PhDs, and...
So this was also just, like, a means to an end to pay for the studies.
For a lot of people, or even, like, you know, I met a girl who already had a down payment on a couple of houses, you know? Or I knew a few other girls who would send money back home to their families in foreign countries, right?
Okay.
So a lot of people had different reasons for doing it. I think the thing is, I've had some coworkers who have had, like, really bad experiences telling people what they do.
Yeah.
But I think that's because they harbored a little bit of shame about it, and maybe the kind of people they were, like, attracted to when it came to interactions were a bit more conservative.
Yeah.
Whereas with me, I really appreciate open-minded people, and I'm not really interested in getting to know people who aren't open-minded.
Yeah, yeah, no. Completely understandable.
So, I actually I've never had issues telling people I was a dancer.
Okay.
Like, most people were really supportive, or they wanted to come hang out with me at work. The only times I had negative kind of feedback would be if I was at a bar or something and told random dudes. They'd always think I was joking. But to be honest, I would just...
Yeah, you would
I found it hilarious, you know? I would just... People do. what do you do? You're a student or something? I'm like, no, I'm a stripper. Like, no, no, really, what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I'm a stripper. They're like, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah, I am. So it was kind of like shits and giggles.
Okay, cool. I mean, and now that you quit and you're also in Berlin and you're not in Canada anymore, like, what is it that you currently do, and are you happy doing what you do?
Yeah, cool. So I'm currently a tattoo artist.
Oh, that's sick.
And I have like a private business. It's really nice. Also a job that gives me flexible hours. I'm a freelancer technically, so I can do it anywhere around the world. So in some ways, it's not that different from dancing. It gives me my freedom. It gives me finance, and it lets me express myself creatively.
So you're a really creative person now.
Yeah, typically I'd say so. I've always been attracted to, you know,
where do you find inspiration to make the tattoos?
I don't know. Honestly, anywhere. The ideas kind of just come to me. That's I wouldn't awesome. Say there's like one source of inspiration. Probably anything from the media I've consumed that day to the nature around me or the people I'm meeting, the vibe I have. Like,
what kind of style do you have?
As far as tattooing, I would say it's kind of like illustrative black work. So I like things to look like they've been drawn. I appreciate darker motives, but done in kind of like a more feminine way, like applied lightly. So maybe, for example, I don't know, like, I knew a lot of demon babes, you know?
Well,
like,
honestly, maybe Satya will give you her Instagram handle afterwards.
Yeah, you can just take a look.
I mean, maybe I'll add it in the description if she wants, and then you can just take a look at her style. Because
yeah.
I saw it already, and it's quite cool.
A photo tip says 1,000 words after
exactly.
all, right? Yeah.
That's awesome. And you like Berlin as of now?
Yeah, Berlin.
I mean, for like tattooing, it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, Berlin's really cool. I think for the arts, it's actually pretty saturated, which makes it a little bit trickier than other places I've worked.
Yeah, competition's high.
Yeah, very competitive. But lots of cool, open-minded people in Berlin. The nightlife, of course, is
it's dominant.
Next level.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love it. I've definitely been getting more into techno since I've been here.
Yeah, we should listen to some after the podcast.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Techno party during quarantine at 11 a.m. But yeah, I've been really enjoying Berlin so far, and probably be here for a while.
Well, I honestly, Satya, it's been a pleasure. Mm. I really like this conversation, and hopefully we can maybe do a episode 2 of it.
Episode 2 of
We can just call it a different hustle. Maybe we can make it more often.
Yeah,
I'm sure if you guys like to hear more about these conversations about a different type of hustle.
There's so many good stories about what happens in the club.
Maybe we should maybe we should have an episode on just the stories.
Yeah, because
the different hustles underscore stories.
Because that's where the fun stuff happens. Like, the people you meet, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, so
really fun.
To all you out there and you creeps and weirdos.
That's it. Come get your rocks off and listen to stories of a strip club.
Well, thanks again, and hope you guys all enjoy.